This time of year brings us two things, graduations and Father's Day. And the gifts that go along with them. Before you buy your dad another tie or the grad a balloon that will probably float away, ask yourself this. Does my dad or grad like wings or sports or better yet, both? If the answer is yes, then get them a Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. Right now, if you purchase $30 worth or more in-store or online, they'll give you a $5 bonus to keep for yourself. That's a gift that gives back. How generous of you. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
A gorgeous Thursday. I hope you're enjoying the beautiful afternoon. Carmen and Yurko. Yurk's off this week. Jonathan Hood sitting in. Talked a little bit there during crosstalk with the Catman about the Ohio State situation and the ugly look after that press conference last night. From Urban Meyer, we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go forward. We'll circle back. We got fantasy football convention passes to give away. Last day to win. Last day to buy them for just 10 or 15 bucks online at ESPNChicago.com's Facebook page. You can buy them at the door on Saturday morning, but they'll be $20. So if you want to go get them today or try to win in about an hour with us, Dan Weider here in just a second talking Bears. Tim Kirchner in about 30. A lot of baseball, a lot of football today, Hoodie. Good day for it.
Absolutely. And if you've never heard your ESPN 1000 favorite personalities work blue,
yeah,
be able to get that at the convention for sure.
Like a Red Fox album.
In a lot of ways it is, yes.
It's awesome.
So you want to be able to be there. If you've never been, you really should go because it's quite the experience.
Yeah, I did a little PowerPoint thing for some gambling stuff we're going to do, and Delavitt was looking over, and he said, can we really say that? And I said, Del, it's a bunch of dudes on a Saturday afternoon hang. It's not on the air, you know?
Right.
Like, come on, let's live a little. Let's get nuts.
Yes.
Like Richard Pryor up there. What's the matter with you? And he said, yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely, because guys will be guys.
That's right.
And when we're up there, boy, it gets a little raunchy, but it's not so raunchy that it's not fun because it's completely fun.
We're going to have a good time on Saturday. So buy your tickets, try to win them later or buy them Saturday morning, but they will be more expensive if you show up at the door at Joe's Live in Bub City in Rosemont. All right, let's talk some Bears. Out to our guest hotline. Our first guest of the day is Dan Weiderer. He covers the Bears in the NFL for the Chicago Tribune. He is at Dan Weiderer on Twitter. And he joins Carmen and Yurko now. And again, Hoodie is in for Yurko. Hey, Dan, how was that practice last night at Vernon Hills High School?
So I was not out there, but from all accounts, it was one of those pageantry practices, right, where you get to get out in the community and blend in, get a little bit of work done, and really just do a nice little event for the local fans.
How about Roquan? That's the biggest storyline, I think, this week, other than just how much the starters are going to play and all that. We want to see some improvements come Saturday night, but I think we spoke early in the week, or maybe it was late last week, just about the importance of trying to get Roquan some game action, because the starters are not going to play. If they do, maybe it's a series in that final preseason game. Is he in jeopardy with this hamstring injury of missing Saturday?
Yes, and I think Matt Nagy will come close to confirming it when practice ends later today. Has not been able to do enough on the field this week to get himself ready to go for a preseason game on Saturday. And so, okay, now you watch this all unfold, right? From the middle of July when the contract holdout started until now, where it's probably going to keep him off the field for the entire preseason in terms of game action. And that is a setback for a defense that really needs to be sharp going to Lambeau Field for their opener on September 9th. And it's unfortunate. It really is. And I think it's watered down a lot of the hope that's existed for this Bears team, and so now the Bears are going to have to find ways to steer around it in the short term.
Dan, how do you define success for the Bears this season in a very tough NFC North?
Yeah, I think you want to feel like your franchise quarterback and your new offensive system are pointed in the right direction and are clearly established and in place, that you want to leave Week 17 with a feeling like those things are established for the future. That's a big deal for this team. I've said a few times that this team could be much improved this year and still be a 7-9 football team. And that's going to be hard to swallow for a Bears fan base that has lived through so many tough years in a row, four straight years in last place in the NFC North, four straight years in which they have won fewer games than everybody but the Browns. And so another season that approaches 9 or 10 losses is not going to be all that exciting for folks, but it is what it is, and the Bears have to establish what they can build around. And so I think, obviously, you start with Trubisky in the offensive system, and then you hope that this improving defense takes that next step from good to great. And in my opinion, that just requires establishing two, three, maybe four guys that you can rely on a consistent basis to make game-changing plays in big moments.
You know, hype in the preseason, I mean, it's not all that important. It's just preseason hype. But when you look around the league and you see some of the quarterback play, Dan, the kid who's going to play here against the Bears on Saturday, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, lit it up last year. Good preseason so far. Garoppolo, to be expected, I guess. Baker Mayfield at times has looked good. You know, there's a lot of buzz about a number of these quarterbacks, not as much about Mitchell. Like, does he have to do something just to make the Bears feel better internally about the start of the season on Saturday, or do they feel pretty good about him and where he's at right now?
I think internally they feel really good about where he's at right now. And Matt Nagy has said it a number of times throughout the last month and a half, just how impressed he's been with Mitch's daily wiring, the way the kid comes to work every day, the way that he's pretty even keeled and really understands the grind of this thing and how much goes into that position. Mitch Trubisky won't fail as an NFL quarterback because he doesn't have the work ethic. He won't fail because he's not mentally tough enough to withstand the NFL game. He'll fail because it's really, really hard to play high-level quarterback in the NFL. That's it. That's the bottom line. They feel good about where he's at from a maturation standpoint. Now it's just sort of taking his baby steps to becoming productive, right? And productive in an offense that is going to be designed around your strengths. And it's going to take a little while to get that thing off the ground. Right now, I think they feel pretty solid about the preseason he's had, and hopefully he gets one last taste of success, right, on Saturday against the Chiefs, just to kind of have a little bit of extra confidence, a little bit of extra momentum going to the regular season.
Dan, as we look at the wide receiver core for the Bears with Gabriel and Robinson and Miller, and again, we've seen a number of wide receivers that look pretty good in the last preseason game. Where does Kevin White fit on that depth chart for you?
Kevin's a guy that's going to have every opportunity to be a regular contributor, right? And Taylor Gabriel's missed a lot of time here in the last couple of weeks with foot injury. He's starting to get back into the flow this week. Allen Robinson still is not, in my eyes, 100% back to where he needs to be the Pro Bowl caliber playmaker that they signed in March. And so, especially in the early going, Kevin White's going to have an opportunity to be a part of this offense. And I've said, listen, if you're Kevin, and obviously the first hurdle is staying healthy and being able to play, right, which has not happened for his first three NFL seasons. But if you do stay healthy, it's not inconceivable to sort of eye 45 catches this season, to maybe, you know, look at 50 as a attainable, if a bit of a lofty goal. And so that's what he should be looking at right now. He's going to get the opportunities early. He's going to have a chance to perform in an offense that's going to spread the ball around. And now he just got to be on the field and do a few things to prove to them that he's worthy of more playing time.
Biggest surprise of camp / practice so far this offseason for you, or this August?
Biggest surprise? Obviously, I'm not surprised by Anthony Miller's emergence. I think if we're going to circle this back to the Roquan discussion, I would just say that Nick Kwiatkowski has had a really solid camp and a really solid offseason. This is a guy that obviously on the last week of April realized that the Bears drafted his replacement, essentially. And he could have taken that one of two ways. You could go into your shell and feel sorry for yourself and say, man, I've got to do some things. Or you could take each day for what's in front of you. And so for the last, 6 weeks here, Roquan Smith hasn't been on the practice field very much. And Nick Kwiatkowski has been. And he's shown this coaching staff that he is a reliable player, right? And he showed strides late last year and has put himself in a position to even potentially be the week one starter here in a couple weeks. And so I've been impressed and certainly, I don't know if it's surprising, but impressed that Kwiatkowski has gone about his business the way he has and really given them a little bit of extra comfort in a situation that is otherwise very unsettling.
Dan, at the bottom of the depth charts for some of these positions, any last chance you players that you're keeping your eyes on late in the fourth quarter when you've already written your story?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some roster battles here, right? Kevin Tolliver, a cornerback out of LSU who flashed in the first couple of days of training camp and probably needs to show a couple more things. I think we saw Javon Wims in the Hall of Fame game. We saw what his potential is. I expect him to be with the Bears in week one, whether that's as part of the 53-man roster, the practice squad, that remains to be seen. And he's got a chance to show some things this week. Ryan Nall, another guy, running back, undrafted rookie, who could fight to stick around on this team. So those are a couple off the top of my head that might be worth looking at if you're bored at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon and still sticking with that game. And it, again, look, you know, next week when they play the Bills on that Thursday night, that game is last chance you, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, thankfully we're getting close to meaningful football, because I think for everybody, this extra training camp that came with the Hall of Fame game has made this preseason seem like it's lasted forever.
Will even the most extreme of casual Bear fans come to know the name Roy Robertson Harris by the end of the season?
I think so. I think he's had a solid camp, and obviously he's had some production in these preseason games, and definitely figures into that defensive line rotation. A guy that has put on weight since he's gotten here and gotten more comfortable in Vic Fangio's defense, and has a skill set that can help them, particularly in a situation where you're going to try to manufacture pass rush in a lot of different ways, knowing that your edge rushing stable is not loaded. You got to get some of those guys up front to do it as well. And so, he should be on the radar here and there, making a play or two in the regular season and letting fans know what he's all about.
And finally, did the league do a good job, or did they make the waters even murkier? I mean, is it even more nebulous now, a day later, after they tweak some of the language in the helmet rule?
Let's watch this weekend, right? Let's watch next week as well. It's really confusing right now. I know that they're trying to throw a lot of flags on this lowering the helmet rule just to kind of get a better sense of the library of calls that are out there, and then go back and say, hey, this one's a good one, this one's a bad one. Let's understand exactly what we're looking for. You guys know how the catch-no-catch rule has been for years. Mm-hmm. There's legitimate fears that this thing could easily be that, and all it takes is two or three games decided in the first month of the season by a personal foul penalty in the fourth quarter of a 6-point or 3-point game, and all of a sudden you got a crisis on your hands. And so I'm certainly not breathing any sighs of relief until we get into mid-October and they've avoided this becoming the calamity that it seems like it has the potential to be.
I mean, Dan, you're there to cover football, but you'll be covering baseball pretty soon here by looking at this. This is going to be 4-hour games. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be this many penalties, we're already at, what, 3 hours and 15 minutes?
Probably 3:15.
Not only 3:35, 3:40 because of all these penalties. You can't have that.
Yeah, and I think there have been 51 in the first 33 preseason games in terms of this rule specifically, which is a lot, obviously. Close to 1.5 a game, and you guys saw the one on Kyle Fuller last Saturday in Denver. It's just a blown call, right? And that can't happen. You know, it can happen on a Saturday night in mid-August. It can't happen on a Sunday afternoon in September. Otherwise, it's a major problem.
Dan, thanks for the info. Have a great weekend.
All right, you guys as well. Talk to you soon.
That's Dan Wiederer, at Dan Wiederer on Twitter. Covers the Bears in the NFL for the Trib. We'll do some trending next. We'll talk to Tim Kirchin, go around baseball at 1. Are the Cards for real? Sure looks like it the last month. They won again last night. That Dodger bullpen is an absolute mess right now, even with Kenley Jansen back. But Cards are just 2.5 back right now.
Mike Schild could be getting some Manager of the Year votes if they're coming back from this. Man, they fired Matheny, and rightfully so, by the way, because that was a
looks
dead
like it's worked, man.
Look at Schild now. That team has got some motivation now for whatever reason.
It's unbelievable.
They were dead in the first half, and now look at them.
So we'll talk baseball with Kirchin coming up at 1. Get more than just fuel at the pump. Earn rewards by filling up using a BP credit card. If you don't have one, open a BP Visa credit card or BP credit card account. It's simple. Open, swipe, earn. The more you fill up at BP, maybe you round up to the quarter or to the dollar. Using the BP Visa credit card or the BP credit card, the more rewards you earn. You even earn rewards on the snacks and goodies you buy inside. Then redeem those rewards at the pump when you fill up with quality BP gasoline with Invigorate. The BP Visa credit card can be used everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. So start getting more at the pump today. Apply online at mybpstation.com/ or stop by your local BP and pick up an application in the store subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See application online or located in the station for details. BP Visa credit card is issued by Synchrony Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. Hoodies in for York. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Waddle is still coming about 2:00 this afternoon. We are out and about at a place named after you, my friend. Big Star in Wrigleyville.
It's going to be fun. We'll see if the Cubs can get the mojo going back at home against your Reds. We'll also talk to our big star, Barstool Big Cat. He joins us at 2:30 today. Jesse Rogers joins us in person. So does Cap. We'll give you an update on last night's Bears practice.
And, of course, I'll take you inside Waddle's world. We get started at 1:45. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Talk to the boys in an hour. I'm jealous of that remote.
You all right, Bobby Brady?
Well, I know. I'm sorry. We're watching the White Sox get picked off on the bases again.
Turn the channel.
And then I'm jealous of their remote. I mean, Big Star.
Felix.
With their great tacos and their great bourbon.
Turn the channel.
And their great rye, Knob Creek, single barrel
put
rye.
Put on Stephen A. Or put on something else.
All right, let me go to the guide, guys. I mean, let's go to the guide. What would you like to watch?
See if there's... Leave them on.
I can't concentrate Heartland with this...
Poker tour?
With this bad baseball in front of us here.
Here you go.
Let's angle into the corner.
There you go. Poker.
Yeah, come on. Put this out. Carmen! I'd rather watch baseball. I love poker.
Hold on. The flop's about to happen.
If you're part of the expression. Carmen, did you see? During a break.
The flop already happened. Fifth Street's out
Carmen,
there.
Carmen, it was a joke. Come on.
Well, I'm sorry. No, I thought you were being serious.
Oh, it's 9-6. It's deathly serious here.
River's already out there.
Deathly serious. It's unbelievable here.
All right, let's do a quick trending.
Theater of the mind, come on.
No, not for Carm.
I thought he was being serious. I thought maybe he wanted to see the flop. I don't know. I took him
man,
literally.
Man, Blake really wants to see the
I
flop.
I took him literally. Chris really wants to see the flop here. Okay. Trending is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more. This fall at Ryan Field, single game tickets are on sale now. I'm going to a game this fall. I can't wait.
It really is Good Morning America around here during the day.
Sometimes.
He didn't mean that. He was just trying to make a joke.
Thought you said you're all right, Spider. What's trending? Anything good?
Well, the Cubs won last night. John Lester was good in Daniel Murphy's debut. I know you guys talked with Cap about it a little bit before. I asked him this earlier. How important is Murphy's bat as the Cubs head to the playoffs? Where would you rank him amongst the other Chicago Cubs?
I think very. I really do. I mean, and he's a butcher defensively.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a shame that his bat has to be this important on August 23rd when you already have a murderer's row.
Chris Bryant's missed a lot of the year and he's got a bad shoulder. For a power hitter, a guy that, I mean, that's probably not good. Chris Bryant, I'm guessing, won't be right until spring training next year. He's got a rehab. Right. I mean, and who knows if there's even surgery. I doubt it. You probably would have known that at this point. But I'm just saying, like, that's a serious thing for a hitter to overcome in the middle of a season. So with that uncertainty, you know, with Russell's struggles, and he's DL'd now, Contreras and his struggles, Rizzo is showing some signs of age and hasn't quite had the offensive year you'd expect. I think his bat is very important. And I think he's a proven commodity in October.
Like I said, it's amazing that his bat's going to be this important on August, but this is the ups and downs of this baseball team. I agree with Jesse, by the way. I think that you'll probably see Murphy at the top of the lineup more times than not.
Yeah.
Get him more at bats and then get him out of there for a defensive replacement in the sixth or seventh.
Murphy-Zobrist kind of combo at the top, you think? That's what they'll do?
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Do you guys see the match for Tiger and Phil is now set November 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving. Yep. Winner takes all $9 million. It'll be a pay-per-view event. Will you watch?
How much is the pay-per-view event? Have they said yet? It's like $100?
Pricing has not been set.
I mean, if it's $100, I probably will. It'd be cool if it was their money, Hoodie.
Yeah, I'll watch
instead
it.
Instead of a sponsor's.
I'll watch it on Periscope. I think... No, but you know what? It's great timing. And it's great booking. You know why? Because what's usually on the day after Thanksgiving?
Well, you've got college football rivalry weekend.
No, it's just college football, bad college football.
Well, isn't usually Texas A&M that day?
Yeah. It's just middle of the road college football.
Hey, you're two for Tom Harmon. Shouldn't things start getting better? I would think so.
All the pressure's on already.
You better believe it at a place like that.
Usually it's the middle of the road kind of conference games. So if you're going to look for something that's a main event type of deal, Tiger and Phil, I think, can work. I think that works.
Well, Iron Bowl is that day, guys.
Oh, yeah, and Iron Bowl is always that Friday.
Iron Bowl.
That's big time.
You have Oklahoma, West Virginia.
Georgia's not playing that day. I'm not really sure if anything else matters.
There's some good, but I will check that out. I'm telling you, I'm interested enough in that. So I think it'll be pretty cool.
It's good booking. I like it.
All right, we're going to talk to Tim Kirchen, all things baseball coming up next. Cubs, Sox, and Kopech. We'll go around MLB a little bit. This run by the A's, this run by the Cardinals getting back in the division race. A lot of baseball stuff to talk about. There were some great games last night in Washington staying in it with the walk-off home run from Ryan Zimmerman and that late rally by the Cardinals. This hour of the show brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, the place for your fantasy draft. Choose the $30 deal with 30 traditional or 40 boneless wings, or spring for the $60 deal and get even more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, prices, and participation may vary. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
The flop.
See the flop.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Hope you're having a great Thursday. Beautiful day. Man, the weather's been nice.
You know, around 5 o'clock yesterday, sitting outside, there was that little hint of fall. There's a little crispness in the air.
A little breeze.
Like, oh, it reminded you that September and October are right around the corner. So we're going to enjoy this as long as we can.
I love it. I mean, I love the fall. It's just, you know, the only bad thing is what comes at the end of it. You know, that's the hard part. But these months, these next couple, September, October, football, crisp air. Oh, love it all. Football's back, baby.
Yep.
Boy, that slate of action. We'll get back to that in the next half hour here. That slate of action the day after Thanksgiving this year is incredible. They moved out rivalry weekend. Like, every game is that Friday.
I had no idea.
It's
going
to be tough for Tiger and Phil to compete against that.
I thought it was going to be on Saturday, but I looked at that schedule. Like, my Georgia team's playing on that Friday as well. Black Friday's going to be special.
Hoodie is in for Yerk today. Yerk's on vacation this week. He's back on Monday. It's been nice having Jonathan in this week for the good kid. At the bottom of this hour, we'll give away fantasy convention passes. Last chance to win them. You can still buy them till midnight tonight at the ESPNChicago.com Facebook page. So make sure you do that. If you've procrastinated here, if you'd like to come out to the convention, which is going to be a blast, as it always is, this Saturday at Joe's Live in Bub City in Rosemont. We will also give you more of our thoughts on the Ohio State or Remeyer situation. And I want to play Paul Feinbaum from last night because I thought he had a pretty good, succinct take on it. But let's talk some baseball, Hoodie. We get out to our guest hotline and say hi to one of our favorites. Tim Kirchen joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Timmy, how are you?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. Excited about these pennant chases that are heated up and heating up. And I don't know, what do you think? Are the Cubs going to have to hold the Cardinals off more than the Brewers right now?
I would say yes, and I'm really surprised by that because I did not see the Cardinals getting back into this thing, but they're 17-4 this month. They have been absolutely fantastic, and I think the Cardinals are now going to make the playoffs, and I would have never said that a month ago. I think the Brewers have a real chance to make the playoffs also, but I still think the Cubs are the best team in the division, and I still think the Cubs are going to win this division and make the playoffs as the central champions.
Tim, why are the A's are so good as of late? One game away from the Astros in the West. Why the turnaround for Oakland?
Well, they can really hit, which we saw in spring training. And I know Alex Cora of the Red Sox told me early in the season, I'm glad that team's out of here, meaning away from Boston after a series, because they take as good an at-bat as any team in our league. They have 1 through 9 guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. And even though their starting pitching has really been shaky, at least to start the season, now it's pretty darn good, and the bullpen is even better. Their bullpen is loaded with young power arms, and then older guys who've closed before. They've got games covered from the sixth inning on, and it's a really impressive group right now. And the way they're playing, I think they're going to the playoffs in the American League, and I sure didn't see that coming in March.
I mean, easy for me to say this, you know, what's $4 million? That doesn't seem a lot for a big league club. With that in mind, are you kind of surprised that nobody else put in a waiver claim on Daniel Murphy and that nobody thought maybe, just maybe, let's make sure he doesn't end up on the Cubs? Or was it just a total shocker to everybody that the Cubs put a claim in on him?
Well, I think it makes so much sense to the Cubs, it shouldn't be a total shocker. I mean, we've seen how much trouble they've had scoring runs lately. We're not sure exactly what Chris Bryant's going to be like when he comes back and how good he's going to be for the rest of the year. And with all the flexibility that Javi Baez gives this team, because he's the best defensive third baseman on the team, he's probably the best defensive shortstop on the team, and he's one of the best defensive second basemen in the game. When you play Murphy there, you can move Baez around, and it gives Joe Maddon even more movable pieces, interchangeable parts, and that's what he loves. That's what makes a lot of teams good today, including the Cubs. So they needed another bat. Murphy's really swung the bat well the second half. He's always swung it well at Wrigley Field and keeps him away from other teams. It made all the sense in the world to me.
Well, Tim, based on the Cubs' roster composition, do you feel that they have a strong shelf life in the playoffs? Do you see them as a World Series team based on other teams in the National League?
I do, but I see a bunch of other World Series teams in the National League. I'll tell you honestly, I'm not quite sure what's going on in the National League right now, and I haven't been sure all season. Just when you think a team is pretty good, it fades. Just when you think a team is in big trouble, like the Cardinals, it surges. I don't think there's a great team in the National League. I think so many of them are evenly matched. I think it's going to be a fantastic finish in the National League for all these divisions of wild cards. And then I think the playoffs will be great. I don't think there's a 100-win team here, a dominant team here, but so many of them are so closely matched that, yes, the Cubs have a chance to go back to the World Series with the team they have right now. I think the bigger, even bigger question is, can they beat the American League teams, which are pretty, pretty good in the AL right now?
Tim Kirchen's our guest. Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Jonathan Hood's in for Yurko. So I think Theo and Jet are very good. All excellent GMs, I think, are very good at seeing the big picture, Tim. With that in mind, do they say, when they look at Yu Darvish's year, they say, okay, 1 out of 6, we'll be fine, or are they really regretting the money they committed to him in the offseason?
Well, I think it's a little too early for significant regret. The guy got hurt, and maybe it's just time to accept the fact that he got hurt early. He hasn't been the same since, and pitchers miss entire seasons or most of seasons all the time. Mm-hmm. With his background and, you know, some of his sketchy, is he really, really hurt type of thing, I think adds to this, but I think it's just time to acknowledge the guy was hurt, and it's a wasted season. We got 5 more years with him, and let's get him back healthy in spring training next year. Whatever he was missing this year when he was indeed healthy, let's fix that. But no, I think it's too early for regrets on this. Now, if this is 2-3 years into it, then, of course, we're going to have to look at it that way. But I'm just not sure it's right when a guy was hurt after 1 year.
Tim, here in Chicago a couple of nights ago, it was Kopech Day. It was National Kopech Day because there were Sox fans that were so happy to see Kopech finally come up for the minor leagues and pitch for the White Sox. When you see Kopech now with the ball club and seeing the future for the Sox, what do you think the likelihood is for the Sox to officially turn things around based on their team?
Well, it's not a great start because Moncada's already there, Jimenez is on the way. They've got some real interesting people on that team. But I think Kopech was the number one guy that everyone wanted to see because he's flashy, he throws 100, and he was really good the other day. Granted, a very small sample, but when you get a standing ovation when you walk to the bullpen before a game, I think that's a pretty good sign, and despite all the rain, I think he showed very well that day, and this is what the White Sox should be doing. Every few months, say, here's another glimpse of the future, and this is a really bright one. I think this kid's going to be really good, but it's baseball. We're never quite sure, but you'll take those physical gifts anytime and hope for the best.
Isn't it amazing what a prospect like that, especially a pitching prospect, can do to invigorate a fan base, even if it's just for one night or, you know, every 5 days when he starts or his home starts here from now until the end of the season? Like you said, I mean, the constant standing ovations, the adoration, I mean, they sold, like, even with rain in the forecast, 9,000 tickets, I think, in 48 hours, which is a big deal for them, Tim. I mean, a prospect like that comes up and it really invigorates a fan base.
It really does, and it should, and especially when you're in a rebuild like the White Sox and everyone's heard about all these guys that you've got, none of that matters in baseball. It's not like the NFL draft or making a big trade in the NBA for a first-round pick. This is baseball with no guarantees, but when you get a guy who throws that hard with this kind of background, you say, we can't wait to see him, and if those fans are invigorated every fifth day, as opposed to every day, well, then that's good enough. Let's move on from here and wait till the next prospect comes up.
Tim, you mentioned Aloy. Guys like Aloy, guys like Vlad Guerrero Jr., they've got no business at AAA, and everybody knows it. But the likelihood of seeing them before next April 15th is slim to none. And that's smart, But I do. I think it's unfair for the player. As a White Sox fan, I think it's smart. If you're a Blue Jays fan, I think it's smart. Is this something that Tony Clark and the membership has to really look at when they go back to negotiate to figure out a way around this loophole and this whole clock manipulation thing when it comes to the position players?
Well, I think the union is going to look at a lot of things like that. And with the way free agency went last year, there's going to be a serious sit-down discussion about what are we doing here. If you have to wait 6 years for free agency, and then when you get there, the teams are saying you're too old to get paid like you used to, then that's a real problem. So, yes, I'm sure the union will look into this, and I don't like that roster manipulation, but it is the smart thing to do for the teams. You can't argue with a team that's a small market club that doesn't have the money and they need to keep their guys as long as they can. But I think everyone gets cheated on that, starting with the player and the team and the fans.
Yep.
But I really do understand that the White Sox and all these other teams are just playing by the rules. And I think we'll take a long look at the rules for the next collective bargaining agreement.
Tim, you're talking to two traditional baseball fans. So I will ask you, are you thumbs up or thumbs down with the nicknames in the back of these special uniforms?
All thumbs up for one time a year. I think baseball needs to show a little bit more personality. It needs to show a little bit more of the human side. And if we can get a good laugh or something out of a strange name on somebody's back, or at least we can ask the question, what does that mean? I think that's good for baseball. It shouldn't be every day. It should be every week. But once a year, I think it's a great idea, and I think it should be something we should do every year, yes.
Okay, so more marketing, the better. I think it's good.
So what will be on the back of your uniform, Tim?
well, I don't have a nickname, and I really worry about people who come up with a nickname on their own. Say, hey, you should start calling me this from now on. Somehow I've gotten the nickname Tom. It's a long story.
Yes.
I'll make it quick.
Yes.
I went to an auction with my wife, and they were auctioning off one of my books. So the the auctioneer called home to tell my wife, you know, they've been making a big deal out of this for a week, that I will be showing up to auction off this book. And the guy said, it's blowing up. We have 11 likes already. 11 likes in a week. So I show up, and they auction off my book, and the guy says, you know him, you love him, you watch him on TV every
Tom
night.
Kirchner.
Mr. Tom Kirchner is here tonight. So somehow the Levitard show got a hold of that.
Oh, God, that's it.
Yeah, that's the end of that.
That's
so I guess that's my stupid nickname, and I don't have anything else clever to put on my back, and I certainly don't wear a uniform anymore, that's for sure.
That's funny. Last thing before we let you go. We talked about the Cardinals. They came back again on the Dodger pen last night. Mm-hmm. The Dodger pen struggled, and it was like, well, that's because Kenley's out, and they've got some guys injured, and it'll be fine when Kenley's back. Now he's back, and it's not so fine. Can the Dodgers fix that bullpen?
It's going to be a real work there because their ERA this month out of the bullpen is almost 6. Kenley Jansen has not only struggled with his cutter, I think he's given up 8 homers on that cutter this year. He's just not healthy either. He's had some physical issues that he's working through. And I was a little surprised he didn't go get more help at the trade deadline for that bullpen. And again, like we talked about earlier, with the competitive nature of the National League, so many teams in it, the Dodgers better get that bullpen fixed and quickly, or else they're not going to the playoffs, and that would be a real surprise for a team that went to Game 7 last year.
Tom, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, guys.
See you, Tim. Thank you. That's Tim Kirchin, not Tom. That's funny.
Isn't that great?
I love it.
And the Levitard show will never let him live
that
down either.
That's it. Once Levitard gets a hold of him. Timmy's a star. He was on the first season of Brockmire, too, made a special appearance.
Yes, had a smile and a drink in his hand.
I got to watch season 2. I have not caught up on the second season of Brockmire. I enjoyed the first season.
I'm in the middle of the second season.
Are you?
It's just as raunchy as the first.
It's great, man.
I mean, it really is.
About blue.
It's the embodiment of probably the old school broadcaster that we grew up with.
Absolutely.
Guys with the checker jacket and just lifelong baseball guys.
Yeah.
and here's the pitch, and here's another scotch.
Yeah, you know they've got a bottle of something up there. Yes.
And all these, I mean, I thought about it. I only did like 25 games of UIC baseball and did it by myself.
Yeah, like
doing
Scully over there.
And I'm thinking to myself, I can understand why someone's drinking through this.
Have a beer up there.
Nine innings. Like and no beverage.
Bottle of Four Roses.
I'm just thinking like I can understand why someone would drink during these games. Absolutely. As a broadcaster.
Twin Peaks is the ultimate sports lodge you've been searching for. It's your local source for sports on wall-to-wall TVs and the most scenic views in Chicago. Everything on the fan favorite menu is made from scratch, and there's something for everyone's appetite. Pair the new Nashville hot chicken sandwich with a local brew served at a frosty 29 degrees by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl in a 22-ounce man-size mug. That's right, man-size.
Mm.
Welcome to your new local spot for sports and scenic views. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views. Bottom of the hour, your chance to win free fantasy convention passes for this Saturday. Coming up next, more on Urban Meyer, Ohio State, and I want to play Paul Feinbaum's little rant and take on it from last night next. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hoodies in for York on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Hoodies in for York. Carmen and Yurko until 2, and then Waddle and Sylvie take over. We'll cross talk with the boys in a little bit. Free fantasy tickets for the convention on Saturday to give away. We're going to do that in about 10 minutes, so stick around. 312-332-3776.
Are you all right, buddy? You're a little throaty today.
You know, it's just allergies. This time of year for me, it's terrible.
Yes,
I apologize.
If I have that also.
Terrible.
and again, if you live south, it'd be even worse.
Yeah.
The pollen is actually
down there.
It was like dust on the cars. You can actually see the pollen. You can see it on top of the cars. And so it's actually worse out.
We ranted earlier about the Ohio State Urban Meyer situation. I mean, Hoodie and I, Cap too. I think most observers, unless you're just the most ardent diehard Buckeye fan, thought last night was kind of a joke in a lot of ways. I mean, the way Urban Meyer read that prepared statement and. It seemed to have very little remorse, would not mention the victim at all. Maybe that's for very specific legal reasons. I suppose that could be the case, but just almost seemed like chose to totally ignore Courtney Smith and what he did and didn't know. But obviously Ohio State found enough in its investigation to say, well, we got to suspend you. We got to give you a slap on the wrist at least. And you know, he's an 8-win coach. He's gone. It's that simple. He's as powerful as any person in that state, and that's the truth. There's, because of what he brings in, the wins and the dollars and what he means to that program and that institution. Football is the biggest, most important thing to the Ohio State University. Make no mistake about it.
Carmen, there's $38 million. There's 38 million reasons why domestic violence does not matter to Ohio State. 38 million reasons why domestic violence and Courtney Smith and that story does not matter.
And a lot of other big businesses and big institutions, Hoodie.
Yesterday's press conference, well, we're only talking about Ohio State at this point. Since that's front and center, we're talking about Ohio State. It is that way for other colleges as well. But yesterday's press conference told us that being involved in domestic violence and hiring a wayward coach like Zach Smith, in which you knew the issues with Zach Smith, does not matter. See, what I saw in yesterday's press conference was a guy that is only concerned about his football team, to the point where there was a reporter there that asked Urban Meyer, what's it like for you not to be around football? Well, what's it like for Courtney Smith, the alleged victim? Now here's the thing. That same coach, by the way, that Zach Smith, admitted in text messages that, yeah, I did beat you. That, yeah, you know, we did get into fights. So it's not one of these things where, oh, well, this is all made up of cloth. And then, of course, you always get this also. Well, how come she didn't go to the police?
Well, she did many times.
Well, I mean, but the point is that the people will always try to find the gray area in domestic violence. And can I tell you something? There is no gray area. If you're beating a woman, there is no gray area in that situation. And so for Urban Meyer, for him to sit there looking like the victim was no surprise to me, because all he's concerned about is the big W. He's concerned about how many wins he's going to get. He's just concerned about how he's perceived. And this is where we are today. And it's really the fault of these universities to build these guys like godlike figures. He can win me games for my college football team. He can make me millions. So we got to be able to exalt this guy like he's some god. Well, You know, it's, unfortunately, that's where we are in sports today, that Urban Meyer has more power than anybody else in Ohio. The same thing with Nick Saban, the same thing with Coach K. These guys still walk and talk and chew gum like you and I do, but yet they are able to manipulate a system for them to be able to win, so it's good enough. So that's why domestic violence is pushed to the side. How much is domestic violence worth, by the way? It's worth a 3-game suspension with no pay. That's how much domestic violence really matters to Ohio State. 3 games. Because in my view, here's what happens. Either you say, well, he just didn't know and you ignore it and just let him go out and coach, or you fire him. There really should have been no middle ground.
Well, if you wanted to make a statement, take a stand, of course, but they can't afford to do that.
They can't afford to do it.
In their minds, they can't.
Okay.
Because like you said, the fans see the wins in the bowl games, in the championships. The university sees the money. It is the most important thing to that university, despite anything they might try to tell you publicly. Education and anything else. Mm-hmm. The single most important thing to a place like The Ohio State University or Alabama or USC is the football program. Make no mistake. And Urban Meyer wins. And if he's an 8-win coach, he is gone. So it's a joke. And the way they handled that press conference last night, there should be no time limit on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you have been caught lying.
Right.
But not when a person associated with your program was doing awful, unspeakable things. And you didn't do enough about it. Well, I passed it up the chain. That's all I have to do. I'll wash my hands of it. Now let's protect the football program. And, oh, and by the way, how do we delete old messages off my phone?
Yeah,
I mean,
and don't forget about the medication now. The medication also makes his brain foggy. Don't forget about the medication.
And this was Paul Feinbaum. I thought this was a pretty concise, just clear and concise take on what he saw last night. I think this was on SportsCenter after all of it. Yeah, this was Feinbaum last night.
I was underwhelmed by Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer tonight had a chance to right some wrongs and win back some lost support, and he failed miserably. He read the statement like a hostage with a gun at his head. He came off arrogant, petulant, and I believe his biggest failing was not personally apologizing to the victim in all of this, Courtney Smith. Instead, he acted like he was the victim, and that is extremely troubling.
It was very robotic and did not seem very remorseful. That's for
nope.
Sure.
There was where was the apology or and he couldn't even say her name.
Yeah, and I guess that could be for legal reasons. No, I suppose.
But, no, Carmen.
Well,
no,
they could have lawyers.
No,
telling
no,
them.
No. There's a way to be able to say that and be able to have remorse and talk about
the
situation
without
talking about the situation.
Yeah.
You can talk about the situation without actually, but you can at least say her name. But there's something legal that says you can't say Courtney Smith's name. She's the one that got beat down.
Unless they're, like I'm saying, unless it's because of a legal purpose and they're worried about litigation and law. I don't know. That's at least what attorneys have been saying. And I'll defer to them in matters of the law. The whole thing looked bad. It was a bad look. And it's a bad look for Ohio State, but Ohio State doesn't really care. By week four, he's back. And all likelihood, they'll be 3-0. The only tough game is the TCU game, but that's at the shoe anyway. And they'll roll on.
For some people, domestic violence, it doesn't matter as much as fighting dogs or dealing with other issues. But domestic violence, to me, as we talked about this the other day, we can go back 5 years ago, how the NFL handled it. Oh, fine. Game suspension if you beat your old lady.
3 games.
Yeah.
That's
so
that
gonna,
video
so,
came out.
So
think
there you
about
go.
That.
Yeah.
All right. Let's line them up for fantasy convention passes. If you'd like to win, this is your last chance. You can still buy them till midnight tonight, too, online, the ESPNChicago.com Facebook page. Last chance for fantasy tickets for Saturday, so try to win right now, 312-332-3776. And speaking of fantasy, it's draft time. This year, you don't have to argue over who's using a coaster and who forgot to BYOB. Buffalo Wild Wings is the place for your draft party. They know you're going to be busy when you're there. That's why they're offering two different food deals for you and the crew. If your league is on the smaller side, there's the $30 deal with 30 traditional or 40 boneless wings. If the league's a little bit bigger, spring for the $60 deal and watch 7 delicious plates of food arrive at your table. How about that? And there's Wi-Fi, and it's free. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, prices, and participations vary. Dine-in only. See location for additional restrictions and details.
This portion of Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by Illinois IDOT. Yes, each year over 300 people die each year on Illinois roads as a result of buzzed, drunk, or impaired driving crashes. That means everyone you know, including yourself, are at risk. It absolutely has to stop. It's up to you to choose life.
That's right. There's something else in there?
Is it? I don't know.
I can kind of...
I was done with the sentence.
All right, I thought they were hanging on.
Or death. To learn more, connect through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit www.lifeordeathillinois.com.
Your chance to win free fantasy tickets next on ESPN 1000.
Live copy script.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Okay, same drill as yesterday if you want to win. NFL, where are they now? Last chance to win free fantasy convention passes. Waddle and Sylvie might be giving some away today. I'm not sure if they are or not, but certainly last chance on our show. You can buy tickets on the ESPNChicago.com Facebook page until midnight tonight. Just $10 for the convention. Only $15 if you want to stick around for the live draft, courtesy of Miller Lite. And if you wait until Saturday morning and show up, that's cool, but you're going to have to pay $20 to get in. So let's see if we get some freebies away here, you and a buddy, for the convention on Saturday at Joe's Live in Rosemont. Okay, Abe in Bridgeview is first. Abe, are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right, you get two out of three here and you win. I'll give you three chances. You just got to get two right. I'll give you the name of an NFL player that changed teams in the offseason, whether it was free agency or trade. You just have to tell me where they are now, okay?
You got it. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Case Keenum.
He's on the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings.
No, he was on the Vikings last year.
Oh, man, I'm thinking of somebody else.
That's all right. You got two chances, though, here.
Oh, yeah.
You got two chances still, Abe, all right?
So now your back's right, against the wall, Abe.
Case Keenum is now a Bronco.
Bronco, yeah. I mixed him up with the other guy, I know.
Here we go. Now, this was an offseason trade, all right? Jarvis Landry, where is he now?
Jarvis Landry's on the Browns.
He is.
See, great, though.
Good job. All right, one more. I think you're going to get this one. I feel good about it, Abe. Ndamukong Suh changed teams in the offseason. Where is he now?
Ndamukong Suh is on the Rams.
Yes.
See, great, though.
Abe, hold on, buddy. We'll see you at the convention, all right?
Good job, Abe.
My man, appreciate it, guys.
There you go, Abe. Let's go to Ricky in the Gold Coast. I'm going to give Ricky a shot. Ricky, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Mohammed Wilkerson, where is he now?
I want to say the Packers.
He is on the Packers.
Great, though.
All right, good job.
All right, halfway home.
You got two to get one here. All right, ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
All right, tell us, where is Richard Sherman? Where is he now?
He's on the 49ers.
Look at this.
Ricky
nails it.
Hey, Ricky.
Ricky, we'll see you at the convention.
Hey, Ricky, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What station just hooked you up with tickets?
ESPN.
All right, buddy. Hang on a second.
Hold on, Ricky. Say it loud and say it proud.
Say it proud. ESPN 1000.
Should I try one more? I got three left on my list. Should we try to give one more away? Robert's in LaGrange. Robert, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Two out of these three and you're going, okay?
All right, Carmen.
All right, here we go, buddy. Longtime guy. Longtime indie guy. He changed teams. Frank Gore is now where? Where is he now? Thinking about it.
Take your time. Hurry up, please.
Maybe Googling.
I have no idea. Let's go with Cleveland.
No. That's okay. He's a Dolphin, but you still got two shots, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. This guy left the Packers. Jordy Nelson. Where is he now?
He is with the Raiders.
Yes.
Great.
One more, Bobby. We'll see you on Saturday. One more. Here we go. Ready? I think you're going to get it. It was definitely the biggest trade of the offseason. Where is Alex Smith now?
He is with the Redskins.
Yes. Great. Robert, we'll see you Saturday.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
What's the station just hooked you up with passes for the fantasy football convention?
ESPN.
Yeah.
We'll put you on hold, buddy. Thank you so much.
And that's how you win, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, it's so good to give out those tickets because he was able to call in the right time for ESPN 1000. There you go, pal.
Hey, now. Okay.
What else you got?
I don't know. I was going to go over the...
Do it.
The new rule.
The Cubs?
Adjustment.
Oh.
No, I was going to... Like, they kind of tweaked the rule, but... I don't know. Did they make it more complicated?
Yes, they did. I read that in it. I didn't even cut and paste that and put it in my deal here.
I was reading it from Pro Football Talk. Inadvertent or incidental contact with the helmet and or face mask, is not a foul, Troy Vincent said in a statement. He said the rule wouldn't change, but they kind of changed it. Inadvertent, as in not resulting from or achieved through deliberate planning, as in not attended. They're going to start to know that, like, as it's flying that fast on the field? I don't know. Pro Football goes on to write, that's a hugely critical adjustment to the rule, especially since the prior version of the rule presumed intent based on the lowering of the head. I think competition chairman committee Rich McKay put it best when he said, this is one of the few times that we're writing intent into a rule, NFL senior VP of officiating Al Riveron said last Friday on a Pro Football Talk PM podcast. And they've now partially written intent out of the rule by allowing for unintended helmet contact, even when the head is lowered, and the intent is thereby presumed.
Ugh.
It's not known how officials will draw the line between inadvertent and intentional helmet contact, but given that the goal is to prevent players from adopting a linear posture and ramming their helmets into opponent, which increases dramatically the risk of serious neck injury, the phrase inadvertent or incidental contact, quite possibly limits the rule to the combination of bad posture, head low, eyes down, and solid impact with the top / crown of the helmet striking the opponent. Man, it's a lot of language, boy, I tell you.
Well, Carmen, I think based on the preseason games that you and I have seen, it's very clear that if they don't change this rule by week one of the NFL, these games are going to go 3 hours and 45 minutes. There's going to be a slew of penalties. And I understand that the NFL wants to continue to gear the league toward offense more and more. It's unfair. Because if you want the Arena League, you know where you can find an Arena League game, right?
Iowa?
Well, I think there only has two teams left, actually.
Oh.
So my point is that if it's all about offense, the Arena League would be a viable option, and it's really not. The best football is the football that has the best balance of offense and defense.
Getting tougher and tougher to play defense, that's for
okay,
sure.
Well, then what's the point of it, you know?
Drew's in Valpo on ESPN 1000 with a quick comment. Hey, Drew.
Hey, I actually disagree with you guys a little bit on the Urban Meyer thing. I think that the three games was good. I think it should have been maybe five, but I think three was good because he actually isn't the one who committed it, and he did put it to his authorities. He should have followed up a lot better than what he did, and that's why I agree with the three games, but I don't think he should be fired. Now, do I think he should have rehired Zach Smith on the staff after Florida? No, not at all.
Of course not. It's crazy. Drew, thank you for checking in. And
there's no way to measure domestic violence cases besides exit.
The lengths they went through to protect, a career wide receiver coach that, by all accounts, was going nowhere. This wasn't a guy like flying up the ranks.
But
he had the clout. He was Earl Bruce's grandson.
And like that matters. Who cares about Earl Bruce in 2018?
I guess Carmen, at Ohio State, they still do.
Carmen, really. It's 2018. Who cares about Earl Bruce now?
Didn't Urban deliver the eulogy at his, or as some would say, his eugoogly at his funeral? I mean, he's obviously close with him, but like you're going to the great lengths just because of that.
Earl Bruce is the reason why Urban Meyer's in coaching. He's the one that got him the
first game. Urban Meyer should be ashamed. Like, you know, he should be telling Zach Smith 5 years ago, dude, you're the grandson of my mentor,
right.
A legend.
Yes.
You're a piece of you know what. You're a piece of garbage.
Right.
Get out.
No.
That's what he should have done.
Mm-mm. So, and this also tells this case apparently is like, if your wife has text messages and your wife works with you in the school, apparently your wife told you, but yet you say you don't know anything about it. I mean, if it's your wife, I'm sure his wife told him. Clearly told him,
come
right?
On. In their findings, they even admitted and acknowledged that the chances that she would not say anything to him are slim to none.
Of course. I mean,
and whatever they uncovered, of course.
Protect at all costs, man.
Yeah, that's sad. It is. All right, we're going to crosstalk coming up with Waddle and Sylvie. Chicago Blackhawk hockey is almost back, and the United Center seats are ready to be occupied. Purchase your tickets to see the Hawks this fall as they host their first game of the season at home against the Leafs. How about that? An original six opener. It's always fun. The schedule is packed with friendly rivalries in and out of the division. You got weeknight games, weekend games, something for every Blackhawk fan out there. Come see your favorites, including Taves and Kane. Skate with the newcomers, bound to become lifelong favorites as they take on challengers throughout the National Hockey League. Regular season single game tickets are on sale now, so visit ChicagoBlackhawks.com to buy your tickets today.
Penn the same.
Carmen and Yurko with Hoodie sitting in for your Crosstalk next on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
It's going down for it.
Thank you to our guests today, Dan Wiederer and Tim Kirchin. Thank you to our fine production staff, Felix Reyes sitting in for the vacationing Danny Zetterman. And, of course, the sound man himself, the engineer, Chris Black.
Spinning the dials.
Although we don't spin dials anymore.
Spin it.
Spinning it.
He wants to see the flop, too. Thank you, Hoodie. All week, thank you, Jonathan Hood. Hoodie starts a little vacation tomorrow. So I'll be flying solo. Yurko's back on Monday. But Hoodie, thanks. Always fun, buddy. Crosstalk brought to you by Low T. Feeling grumpy, tired, or sluggish? Could be low testosterone. Get your levels checked in less than 10 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com for more info. Waddle and Sylvie, there was a power issue near Wrigley Field. They cannot be at Big Star. I'm assuming you guys will make that up at some point.
We thought
too
Daniel,
bad, Big Star's a great place.
I was going to say, we thought Daniel Murphy solved that power issue.
Ha! Ah. Tip your waitress. Try the VR.
It looked great. We drove by it.
It's a great place. Yeah. And I heard you guys talking about it yesterday when Sylvie was promoting it. It was the old, in my old neighborhood, it was the old Pontiac Cafe, which was a great place. And when it went away, I was bummed because I loved Pontiac Cafe.
What was their specialty?
It was just a fun place. Yeah. It was kind of like a divey neighborhood place. It had a killer patio. But I fell in love with Big Star right quick. And I love their whiskey selection. I know you guys were going to be out there with Knob and the single barrel rye, which is awesome. Their tacos are great. So hopefully you get another chance to go out there.
Yes, we will. I think we're going to go back out in September.
When Sylvie first moved into the neighborhood, when did you move into Bucktown?
2010.
Okay, so 2010. Before that, Sylvie had always lived like downtown. Crazy.
And going north of North Avenue to me was like going to Wisconsin.
Going to the Dells.
Yeah. And Sylvie moved into the neighborhood. And Karen and I were married then, if it was 2010. My wife and I took Sylvie out to welcome
you
him to the
Sylvie
neighborhood.
Sylvie Ketchup Girl, was it?
No, wasn't. I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't Ketchup Girl either. But we took him to Big Star, and Sylvie loved it then. He said, wow, this place is great.
I had the house to myself tonight. The kids are with Allie. They're going up to Wisconsin.
So they're staying over.
Lake House? They're staying over.
Oh, boy.
So I've got no kid duty when I got home. I was going to take home a big bag of tacos.
Oh, God.
Open up a big bottle of wine and sit and watch the Cubs game. The guys upstairs are busting my chops.
With no pants on.
Yeah. No pants on. But everyone upstairs is busting my chops saying, well, I mean, there's a million taco places. Yeah. Go pick up some tacos. Yes. And I'm going to do that.
Yes. What? Now you got it in your head. You have to do that.
It's a pantless Cubs Red Series, I would say.
Yeah,
when
course.
Isn't it?
Yeah, right.
That's a good thought, Larry. Your team's in town.
What do you mean?
Waddle's wearing nothing but his Reds visor tonight. That's it.
What time's Brenneman? Is he coming on?
What are pants?
We were debating that.
Brenneman!
About Tom to come.
You should get Tom on.
Yeah, no, I know. We were going to ask him to come by. We're very guesty today.
Are you?
But, you know, I love Tom. I know he's not loved in town, but I look to him as a mentor when I was young.
Yeah, he taught
I
you
love
the ropes.
Him and his father.
I love you, Sylvie.
Good broadcast.
Carmen and Yurko brought to you by Far More. You get far more.
That's a pretty good Tom.
Really good.
That's not so bad at all.
I just think that the Cubs, him razzing the Cubs would be kind of fun. Just have him on the air because I know he's going to be needling them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Look at the Cubs fans hooping and hollering now.
Oh, those Cardinals are right there on your heels, Sylvie.
Oh, yeah, he's going to tweak you if he comes on for sure. Boy, how about the Cards again last night? Speaks more about the Dodgers' issues. Yeah. Even with Jansen back, their bullpen's a
mess.
Give them
credit.
Wow.
Give them credit. And the Cubs are going to be in a fight here for the last month.
I got my bet with Delavitt jacked up a little bit.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
On his urging?
On both. Yeah.
What is it now?
There's a little chestiness going on in the last 24 hours.
Me and you were keeping ours the same.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
It's three now.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm playing with house money a little bit, though, because...
He owes you?
Yeah.
Still owes you $100.
And I don't charge interest, so I'm just going to let it...
Probably should.
Yeah, probably should.
With him, you should.
Yeah.
So he still owes you $100, though, besides
60.
This, right?
Yeah, 60.
Oh, it's not 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That you should be running.
Jelly beans. 60 jelly beans.
So it was 20, and then you won yesterday, the 40.
40 jelly beans
yesterday.
So now it's
60.
So now it's 60. Yeah. And you still got three riding with them. All right.
That's
right. We need to open up our own, like, right next to the State Street Studios, a little window where you could place bets here.
I said we'd do it.
He wanted to jack it up higher, but I said no. And I said, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you.
Yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings is doing this. Yeah. We need to adopt this.
I'm with that.
Have the window built, ready to go as soon as they pass the law. Yes. Delvitt could be by there, and he could be the guy running the ball.
You know what? I'm being serious here. ESPN should file for some sort of legal license to be a casino.
Yeah, like
you're a sports entity. Why not also have an arm of your business that allows you to take bets?
I mean, you were in the restaurant business, so why not be in this business?
You can do the same exact concept now with taking bets.
Yes.
Right. It looked like a sports book without gambling.
That's
So the teams are obviously going to do this, but is there a conflict of interest with a media company doing it, a news organization doing it, or no?
It would just be an arm of the company, like an arm of Walt Disney.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be ESPN. It's just an arm of Walt Disney.
All of a sudden, you have a vested interest in the outcome of games. You're covering these.
No,
games.
The E stands for you're entertainment. Just your,
you know, you don't have an interest.
You're looking for equal. Right.
So you're not actually setting the book. You're just taking. What do you mean? I mean, like
the house sets it though, to get equal money, not because they root.
But the house has an exposure. So, the house roots. Of course, they do. There's exposure on the house.
There is. You're right.
If ESPN starts making book, you have exposure. There could be a very significant conflict of interest.
Why are you talking about the important stuff? We just want to gamble and drink.
I don't know.
What's wrong with you? You working for FS1?
Hey, listen.
What are you doing?
I'm going to Joy Skip.
Hey, Stink. What are you doing?
So nobody can watch or listen. I'm going over.
Wow, that was a cheapie.
I'm going over there.
Cheap shot.
Strike three.
Obviously, it doesn't matter.
Very good.
You know what I mean?
Skip's the line. He's laughing all the way to the bank.
That's right.
Jesus.
He ain't the only one.
I wish I could get $5 million for nobody watching or listening.
Actors get paid a lot of money.
Oh, my at all.
And Skip's an actor.
Yes.
He is playing a role to perfection.
Come on, Skip.
Unbelievable.
I would think it's a funny impression if I've seen the show.
just any sharp is doing that.
Oh my God.
It's unbelievable.
He was nothing like that when he was here.
I was
doing weekend shows with Skip Bayless back in the day at the Hancock
building. Wasn't he also right for the trip?
He was a great guy.
Skip really was.
He was a guy's guy.
Yeah.
He's a Bigfoot.
But now he plays a role.
He does.
And he plays it to perfect. You think he believes that about LeBron? Come on.
I don't think so. I don't think he believes half of what he says. He's playing the role as the bad guy. Right. He likes
it. Because he's getting paid.
He's getting paid handsomely to do it. I guess if somebody's giving you that kind of money, you'll do it.
There's still an audience for the hot tickers, but the audience is not as big as it once was.
It's nuanced.
It's a difference. I was talking to Waddle about this a couple of days ago. Like, I work with Ryan Hollins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ryan, we were talking about
it. Hot take Hollins.
And Ryan is great guy. Great guy. I just think it's kind of weird. He's just like, I got this idea about the Lakers. Man, I'm going to bring it up on the show. Let's go hit SportsCenter. Like Ryan, that's not kind of what I do, but if it's good for you,
God
please
bless you.
Go ahead and do it.
Yeah. By the way, you're listening to ESPN 1000 WMVP AM Chicago.
Yeah, another fine for the station. It's just not good for me.
I'm with you.
He would sit in. So, like, to take you behind the curtain a little bit, when you host First Take, there's a big production meeting, and you go through topics that they believe where there may be your real opinions, where there's a good two sides, where you have a definitive two sides, and they're like, all right, that's a topic, but you don't really debate it.
Right.
And, like, Hollins would sit there, and he's as cool as anybody, and he'd be like, talking nuance, and then all of a sudden we'd get in front of the cameras would go
so
on,
nuts.
And Ryan all of a sudden would start calling out Will Kane and be like, Will Kane, you suck.
Oh,
like,
my basically God. It was
like, no holes barred.
In the meeting, he'd be like, you know what, Will, that's a good point. That's a really good point. And then on the air, as soon as we get on, first thing, he's like, you suck.
Oh, you know what you're talking about, Will. You suck.
It's just unbelievable when the lights come on. Just like, okay. And that's maybe why I still... And maybe, I don't think I'm behind the times in this.